1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul." Verse 13, 1 Samuel 18, verse 13 says, "Therefore Saul removed him," that is, he removed David from him, he put him away from him, "and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people." Listen carefully now to verse 14. 1 Samuel 18, verse 14 says, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him." If correctly read, that's 1 Samuel 18, verses 12 through 15. I want us to go back and look primarily this morning at the 14th verse. Verse 14 says, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." David behaved himself. You know, some people don't even know how to behave themselves in the house of God. Did you know that? Sometimes people are in the house of God and they're talking and laughing and giggling and not paying attention and not listening to the Word of God. They haven't been taught to behave themselves. They don't know how to behave themselves. Have you ever seen people that didn't know how to behave themselves? Have you ever seen people that looked like they just didn't have any raising at all? They did not know how to behave themselves. Well, David, the Word of God says here that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. And just as the Lord was with David, when David behaved himself, God will be with us when we behave ourselves. Don't you think it's a marvelous thing that the Word of God would declare, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways? Now, my problem is that though I may occasionally behave myself wisely, I often behave, I misbehave. I many times do not behave myself wisely. So I ought to have as a goal and an objective for my life that I would be more like David, as is expressed here, that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Now, I want us to think about four or five or six, and I'm sure that we won't get to all that God's Word has to say about David behaving himself wisely, but I want us to pray that God will help us to behave ourselves wisely. What was the result of David behaving himself wisely? The Lord was with him. David behaved himself wisely, and the Lord was with him. Brethren, there's no greater blessing than you can ever have in this world than to feel that the Lord is with you. And if you want the Lord to be with you, it's essential, it is absolutely necessary that if you want to feel the Lord with you, you have to behave yourself wisely. Because when you walk in darkness, you will not feel the Lord's presence with you. But when you walk in the light, as He is in the light, when you behave yourself wisely, the Lord will be with you and bless you to feel His presence. I want us to think about four or five different ways that David behaved himself wisely. First of all, I want us to think about how we and how David can behave ourselves wisely. One of the ways that we can behave ourselves wisely is by the words of our mouth. It is absolutely amazing as you read the Word of God and you hear some of the things that David said, it's amazing the words that came out of David's mouth. It's amazing the wisdom that David had. When you read the Psalms and when you read the Word of God about what David would say to Saul, King Saul, or to Jonathan, or many other people, it's amazing to hear how wisely David behaved himself when he spoke. The question I would pose to us this morning is, do you behave yourself wisely every time you speak? See, the Word of God says here that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Now, how did he ever reach that point in his life that he behaved himself wisely in all of his ways whenever he spoke? How is it he ever reached that point that when he spoke, he behaved himself wisely when he spoke? He reached that point by praying to God for God to help him. It was a conscious commitment that David had in his life. Let me ask you this question. Are you just going to slide into a condition of behaving yourself wisely in all your ways? Is it just going to come natural that you behave yourself wisely in all your ways? There is absolutely no way for an individual to ever reach a point that God would ever say, now, he behaved himself wisely in all his ways, except an individual child of God begin to have that as a goal and an objective in his life. I want to behave myself wisely in all my ways, because I want the Lord to be with me. And therefore, I'm going to begin to work on my mouth and my tongue and everything I say, that everything I say would be wise words. You know what David did? Psalm 19 and verse 14, David prayed for his mouth, didn't he? He prayed that God would bless the words of his mouth. He says in Psalm 19, 14, he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Was David concerned about the words of his mouth? Did he work on the words of his mouth? Did he pray for God to help him? Did you know you're not even going to think about the thing? Have you ever say something that you wish you hadn't said? You ever have things that just come out of your mouth and as you heard those words, you thought, where in the world did that come from? That happens a lot of times with me. Sometimes I'll say something and it's something that I just think, now, how in the world did that come out of my mouth? I'm not talking about profanity, just things that sometimes we say that we wish we had never said, and it's something that we know that it's not what somebody that's wise would say. Have you ever talked foolishly? Well, David was careful about his words. He prayed, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Go with me to James chapter 1. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. I want you to think about how one of the ways that we can behave ourselves wisely is that we need to guard our words. That every word that comes out of our mouth, we need to be praying, God, help me that the words of my mouth would be acceptable in thy sight. Give me choice words. Give me forcible words. Give me words that are pleasing to you. Give me words. You remember how the Word of God says that the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious words. You know, the Word of God talks about, I can't think of the expression, about your words being like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Listen, brethren, when our words are wise words, they're going to be words that God blesses us to say. And we need to be careful about guarding our words and be careful about the things we say. Look in your Bibles now at James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26, the Word of God says here, if any man among you seem to be religious, do you seem to be religious? You're at church today, do you seem to be religious? People that look at you, do you seem to be religious? Would you say that that person is religious that goes to church? Would you think that most people who go to church are religious? Well, the Word of God says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, is it important that you watch what you say? Is it important that you have wise words? Can your words destroy your religion? Can the words that come out of your mouth, can they destroy everything else that you do? Yes, they can. Now, when the Word of God says David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, do you think David was careful about what he said? Do you think that David was a man that when he spoke, that he spoke words of wisdom? Indeed, he did. And I pray that God will help all of us here, that we would work, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in God's sight. Look at James chapter 3. We're not going to go through this, but I encourage you to go home and read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. This passage of Scripture is talking about the tongue. Is the tongue, of all the members of your body, there is not another member of your body harder to control and tame than your tongue. Did you know that? It's hard to control your tongue. There are a lot of expressions. Engage brain before you open your mouth. A lot of expressions that people, I see on desks sometimes of people, or signs on the wall. We need to think about, if I'm going to be wise, my words have to be wise words. In James chapter 3, I want you to come down to verse 6. You remember how the Word of God here is talking about, how do you control a horse? Can you control a horse? Can you control a horse? Yes. What do you use, Sister Courtney, what do you use to control a horse? Reins, a bridle or a bit. Those reins control the bridle and the bit, or the bit is what's in the horse's mouth, and you pull on those reins. You make him go left, you make him go right, you can stop him. As big as a horse is, just takes a little piece of steel and some leather to make him go the right way. And then he says, now look at a ship. And you have a little rudder in the back of a ship, and that little rudder controls the direction that huge ship goes. And he says, now, the tongue is like that. Your tongue is determining the way your ship is going. David's ship went in the right direction, and it went in the right direction because he had right words. Look at verse 6. James chapter 3 and verse 6, the Word of God says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Can your tongue destroy everything about you? The tongue defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. You know, the devil works in you sometimes to have you say things you ought not to say. And what I'm trying to get to is, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. What was one of the ways that was extremely important? One of the things that had to be present in the life of David for the Word of God to say that David behaved himself wisely in all of his ways, one thing that had to be present was him controlling his tongue. By the grace of God and with the help of God, you can control your tongue. And I pray that God will help you to have that as a goal and an objective in your life. If you want the Lord to dwell with you, listen carefully. The text says, and David behaved himself wisely, and the Lord was with him. If you want the Lord to manifest himself to you, your words have to be acceptable words to the Lord. And the only way that's going to happen is if you ask God to help you every day. Be careful about what you say. Now the second thing that David said in Psalm 19:14, after he said, and let the words, he's praying a prayer there, Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the what? What's the second thing he prayed for? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. That means the things you're what? Things you're thinking about. The things you're thinking about. Do the things that you think about have a great effect on whether you behave yourself wisely in all your ways, the things you're thinking about? Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I'm not thinking about the right things, then my life is not going to be a life that God would ever say, now he behaved himself wisely in all of his ways. Your thoughts, your words have to be right, but even your thoughts have to be right. And you need to be praying, God, help me to control my thoughts. Help me not to think things I ought not to think. Do you ever get evil thoughts in your heart and your mind? Do you ever get angry? Anybody here get angry last week? Let's just get real close. Did anybody here get angry last week? Now, you do? Well, I'm sorry. I do too. Very good. Right back at you. Very good. We do get angry, don't we? Now that getting angry and staying angry, that's misbehaving ourselves. Okay, that's good. We don't stay angry. That's it. You get angry, a bird, you can't keep a bird from lighting in your on your head, but you can keep a bird from building a nest in your hair. And whenever evil thoughts come, you can drive them out, get rid of them. And when you have those evil thoughts and those bad thoughts, if you're going to behave yourself wisely, you have to get rid of those thoughts. And so it is that David behaved himself wisely in all of his ways. David's thinking was right. His thoughts were right. He prayed, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. His words were right and his thoughts were right. We need to, do you ever have, if you're worrying, listen carefully, if you're worrying, you're misbehaving. Everybody hear that? If you're worrying, you're misbehaving. Why? Because the Word of God teaches us that we're to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. We're not supposed to worry. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about the clothing that you're going to need down the road. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The promise from God is, I will take care of you if you serve me and put me first. If you behave yourself, do you have any reason to worry? If you behave yourself, you don't have any reason to worry. And so it is that the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are holy, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Did you know every time I'm messed up in my head, I'm misbehaving? You ever get messed up in your head? Think about things you ought not to? Well, I need to go back to Philippians 4:8. That's the test. Is it something I'm supposed to be thinking about? Is it something God tells me to be thinking about? I need to think about the things that God says to think about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You go home and read and study that, and every time that your thoughts are not, every time that you think you might be misbehaving yourself in your thoughts, you think about Philippians 4, 8, you think about the things that are said there. Is there any virtue? Is there any praise in what you're thinking about? You know, thinking about songs, I think that's one of the most wonderful ways in the world for your thoughts to be acceptable to the Lord. Thinking about the Word of God, thinking about the promises of God. There's so many things to think about instead of the things that you are thinking about. If you're thinking about the wrong things, you are what? You are misbehaving. That's right. You're misbehaving. You're not behaving. What does the text say about David? And David behaved himself in all his ways, and the Lord is with him. If you will behave yourself with the words of your mouth, and if you'll behave yourself with the thoughts that are in your mind, the Lord will be with you. You'll feel the presence of God with you if you'll just behave yourself in all your ways. A third way that David behaved himself was not only by the words of his mouth and the thoughts that he had, but by his affections. His affections. By the things that he loved. What do you love? What do you love? Well, the Word of God says in 1 John, listen, the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Word of God says, and this, listen, this hits home, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do you ever love the things that are in the world? Do you ever set your affection on the things in the world? When you do that, you're misbehaving. David behaved himself in all his ways. David loved the right things. And David, every time his heart, you ever find your heart beginning to go after and love the things of the world? Every time your heart begins to do that, you need to say, whoa, stop! I'm not going to allow this. That's misbehaving. I don't want to misbehave because God will not dwell with me. God will not manifest Himself to me. The Lord will be with you like the Lord was with David. If you'll behave yourself, you need to behave yourself with your words. You need to behave yourself with your thoughts. You need to behave yourself with your affections. You need to love the right things. Don't love the wrong things. Love. What are you supposed to love? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Does that leave any room for anything else if you're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is everything going to fit? Is everything going to be right in your life? Are you going to be behaving yourself wisely? If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything's going to be on the right track if you're just loving what you're supposed to love. Love. Love God. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Set your affections. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, set your affections on what? Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your affections. That's what we're talking about. Talking about behaving ourselves. Behaving ourselves with the words of our mouth. Behaving ourselves with the thoughts that we have. Behaving ourselves with our affections. Love. Husbands. Brother Dennis, your husband, love who? Well, that's good. Husbands, every one of us. Husbands, love your wives. Does that mean feel love in your heart, or does that mean show love? What does that mean? It's action, that's right. It means show love. It means do something. Husbands, love your wives. Manifest love. Is that behaving yourself? Is that putting your affection where God says you need to put your affection? To love God, love your neighbor, love your wives, love the brethren. Is that a responsibility that we have, is to love one another? Let brotherly love continue. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have what? Love one to another, not one for another. If you have love one to another, if you're loving, are you behaving yourself? If you're loving the right, if you're loving God and loving your neighbor and you're loving your spouse and you're loving, we're supposed to be loving the right things. And if we're loving the right things and the right people, if we're loving like we're supposed to love, then we are behaving ourselves wisely. I want you to turn, please, in closing. I want you to go back to the Old Testament just a minute. I want us to look at David just a minute. I haven't mentioned that David behaved himself wisely with his money. Are you behaving yourself wisely with your money? Are you behaving yourself wisely with your money? I want you to think about this. When they began to build the temple, do all of you remember what the people did? Do you remember what the people did when they began to build the temple? Do you know what the people did? They brought their jewel. They brought their jewel. They didn't go to the bank and say, well, I'm going to give you $50 out of my bank account. They brought their possessions, didn't they? They brought their gold. They brought their silver. They brought their precious stones. They brought everything that was really important, and they gave it all for the building of the house of God. I wonder if there were to be a building of a new building, a new house of God, I wonder how many of us would do what the children of Israel did right here. Do you love your money too much? You love your money too much? Are you behaving yourself with your money? Are you behaving yourself with your money? Did David behave himself with his money? Did David behave himself with his money? Look now at 1 Chronicles. Please look at this in your Bibles. I want you to see that just in this one passage of Scripture, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I want you to see that David behaved himself with his money. He behaved himself with his affections. He behaved himself with his words. And he behaved himself with his thoughts. Everything we've talked about so far is summarized right here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles, not 1 Corinthians now, some of you are in the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles. Chronicles and Corinthians look a little bit alike. 1 Chronicles, Old Testament. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Look, please, we'll begin with verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 1. The Word of God says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. What's he prepared? For the house of his God. Listen to what he prepared. The gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. What? Listen, my question is, was David behaving himself with his money when he was giving of his possessions like he was giving? Was David behaving himself with his money? Question is, are we behaving ourselves with our money? Now, after he says that he had done those things with his money, I'm not going to go through and read all of it, but I want you to come and look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God." He said his what? Affection. Now, did David behave himself wisely in the area of his money? Did David behave himself wisely in the area of his affections? What is he saying he's loving here? He's saying, "I have set my affection to the house of my God." Did he love the house of God? You know, you need to love God. You need to love the Word of God. You need to love the house of God. You need to love the people of God. David set his affections. Do you determine, if you've been born of the Spirit of God, do you determine where you set your affections? Can you set your affections on things of the earth, or do you determine whether or not you set your things on things above? Now, David behaved himself because he set his affections on the house of the Lord. Does everybody see that? You see that in verse 2, David set his affection, David behaved himself wisely with his money. Everybody see that? Verse 3, he behaved himself wisely with his affections. I want you to come down to verse 12 for the sake of time. Go home and read this entire chapter because every verse is important. I want you to come down to verse 12. He's blessing the Lord. He starts in verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation." Now come down to verse 12. David says, "Both riches and honor come of thee." Now let me ask you this. Let's just suppose we're building a new sanctuary. And I say, I'm going to give $10,000. Let's suppose that I have, or whatever I have in the bank. Let's say I'm going to give everything I've got in the bank for the building of a new sanctuary. Tell me what the devil's going to say to me once I've done that. What's the devil going to say to me? Brother John, you got any idea what the devil's going to say to me? If I give everything I've got for the building of a new sanctuary, a new house of God, what? Okay, yeah, this is my church. That's one thing. This is my church. Is that the way a lot of times people feel? I've had people tell me, when I first came here, I had people say, "This is my church." Now listen, brethren, this is not your church. It's not my church. This is the Lord's church. You can't ever say this is your church. You didn't buy the church. You may buy a building. It's still not your building. It's the house of the Lord. It's the house of God. And so David, after he had given all of these monetary things, he still says this. Listen to verse 12 now. "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." What was he thanking God for and praising God for right here? He was thanking God and praising God that he had the privilege to give so much in service to God. Isn't that amazing? He gave it all. Now listen to verse 14. We'll close in verse 14. He says, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" You see what he's saying? Who am I? Who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." What's he saying in that last verse? All we've done is give you what's already yours. Everything I have belongs to God. My wife doesn't belong to me. My children don't belong to me. My grandchildren, as precious as they are to me, they don't belong to me. They belong to God. And if you give If you give everything you have, all you've done is just return to the Lord that's already His. Isn't it a wonderful blessing to be able? I'm going to ask you this in closing. Can you behave yourself wisely? Can you behave yourself wisely like David did? With the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, your affections, your thoughts, can you behave yourself wisely with your money? Can you behave yourself wisely in every area of your life? Yes, you can. I didn't get to the most important thing that I wanted to get to this morning. And I'm just going to mention this in closing. What's the one thing, has anybody thought about any way David did not behave himself? As I've been going all over all this, has anybody thought about how David did not behave himself? Has that come into anybody's mind? What are you going to do with that? Well, here's how David. Now, David, after, of course, this is before this scripture in 1 Samuel 18:14. That's before he did what he did over there in 1 Samuel 17, or rather, Second Samuel, I believe. How did David behave himself wisely after he had sinned with Bathsheba and after he had had Uriah the Hittite killed? How did he behave himself wisely? He behaved himself wisely in that when God brought His judgments, David prayed, he begged God not to take his child's life, but when God took his child's life, how did he behave himself wisely? He rose up and he worshiped God. And you look at the words that he spoke there, and you'll see that David behaved himself. After God brought his judgments in David's life, David behaved himself wisely in all his reaction to the judgments of God for his disobedience. In fact, listen carefully, the sword never departed from David's life, did it? But what did he continue to do? He continued to serve the Lord. He continued to behave himself wisely in spite of the fact that God said, the sword will never depart from your house. And he suffered tremendously, but he continued to behave himself wisely in the way he reacted to God's judgments for his sin. May God help us to behave ourselves wisely, is my prayer for Christ's sake.